The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
If anybody plays April Fool's gags anymore, it's all an April Fool's gag now. I mean, it's really nuts. The Israelis are going crazy over there. They bombed with our, we give them the airplanes, we give them the bombs, we give them the air-to-ground missiles, we give them everything. We're paying for the whole genocide over there. There was in Damascus, Syria, there was a building right next to the Iranian embassy in Damascus. That building is where the ambassador and his family lived. Well, the Israelis decided today to take it out. So they took it out completely and killed everyone in the building. The ambassador and his family were not in the building. However, the top Iranian Revolutionary Guard general, the highest-ranking military figure outside of the country of Iran right now, he was visiting there, was in that building. And the Israelis found out about it and killed him. And I don't know who else, some other high-ranking military people. So they're really, they're everywhere you look, and I've said this before, and let me repeat it again. Everywhere you look, you see nothing but incremental movement toward World War III. Everywhere you look. Of course, the Jews don't care. They've got the Samson option. They've got all the money and munitions from the U.S. They're looting our entire military inventory, basically, that and the Ukrainian Jewish administration there. And yes, it is a Jewish government in Ukraine. Make no mistake about it. Do a little research. Understand who's running the show. It's the same people. Always the same people. So, six projectiles from American-made and given to Israel, F-35s, hit this particular building. And when you look at the pictures, you'll see them. There's no damage to the embassy at all. They just cleaned out this building. It's gone right next to it. I mean, literally wall to wall, sidewall to sidewall. And it's called precision annihilation. But so that's one story. It just keeps going. We have in our second hour tonight our update with Erica. There's a new development there as well. We covered this about over a year ago. It's about antibodies being made in your body to spike protein. Now, we're going to cover this in depth next hour. But these antibodies are actually acting like enzymes in the body, and they're completely dysregulating the body's entire homeostatic mechanism. It's being completely thrown over and disorganized and dismantled. It's like you put it in a blender. That this is yet another avenue, another pathway of how the bioweapons, whether it's the virus bioweapon or the injection bioweapon, how they are destroying life as we know it, literally disassembling it. So those are just two of the big stories today, and there are many others. Biden is saying now, I think most of you know, that there was a... hi, Don. I didn't know you were there. How are you?
Hey,
just
Jeff,
kidding. One more quickie here. One more quickie. Biden is now saying, I didn't do that. This is reported today. He's saying, I didn't do that. He has no idea. He issued and signed the Trans Day of Visibility proclamation on Easter Sunday. He's claiming, I didn't do that. Now, is he lying, or is he demented, or is he all three? I don't know. Anyway, welcome back, Don. Seems like I just talked to you on Friday. I got several nice emails thanking you for coming on, and people.
I saw the one. I forgot to respond to you that you sent me those. And I heard from a lot of people too that were touched by our elementary tales of woe and how we overcame adversity to become the sterling adults that we are now.
It's true. The truth is always easy. It's just the truth. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And you're very forthright about that. And I thought that was particularly impressive. I was very impressed with that.
Well, yeah, my life, that's there. I think one of the reasons why I'm getting more people at Substack is I do write a lot of personal stuff. And one reason, I don't think they can find much dirt on me if I ever did become really big, because I pretty much am an open book. I mean, I pretty much tell everything. So I don't have any real skeletons in my closet. I've been pretty open about everything. So
there's a lot to be said about that. That's very good. Now, there is dirt on me out there, but it was actually synthesized dirt. None of it was real. It was created and floated out on the net. That's what they do. They can do anything they want. And let you worry about trying to, you know, disempower it. I had to make a decision early on. Was I going to worry about people who were trying to smear and trash me? Or was I going to keep doing my work and doing the best I could? So I told you, go to hell. I don't care. Yeah. Let them say what they want.
With this AI technology that we have, I don't know if you saw probably a month ago or so, it was on the TV. My wife had it on, incomprehensibly enough. But Jimmy Kimmel was on in the background as I walked by the TV, and he was doing something, and they had Donald Trump speaking, and it was Trump, and his lips were moving, synchronized, and he was saying he wanted to apologize for being such a big crook, and all, you know, basically confessing to everything they think he's done, and then talking about how Jimmy Kimmel's his favorite show. But I mean, everything about it looked legitimate.
This is Trump.
Yeah, this is Trump. And again, it was AI. I mean, they used that technology.
It was a deep fake. Okay.
Yeah, it was a deep fake, but it looked real. And that's the – and I had someone I knew – this has been a couple years ago probably – who's somebody tried to extort money from them by claiming their daughter. They had their daughter, and they put the daughter on the phone, and it was her voice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's terrifying.
Yeah. We're into this now. It's here. It's part of the – part of the landscape. We're going to have to deal with it, and they're going to be putting out videos of people, and they look like your own children, threatening, you know, we need money now or your child will be dead. There is evil on this planet, and evil will take any technology it can and corrupt and pervert it into some mechanism to try to make some capital gain out of it. It's sickening.
Just like television was corrupted, and television could have been so great. And it was in many ways in the beginning, but they destroyed
in the beginning. Yes.
And then
the enemy got hold of it, figured it out, how to pervert it and corrupt it. And they did.
Yeah. And same thing with movies and computers. I mean, obviously it took longer. I said for a long time when the internet was inadvertently, and I thought it was ironic that the internet was apparently came out of the Department of Defense of all places. But I said, you know, once these 16-year-olds, whatever they try to stop us from doing, the 16-year-olds can get a hold of servers and they can override it. And they did that for a while. But, we never counted on the social media stuff and how important that would be. And that's where they found their inroad to censoring the internet, because they know everybody. You need, I mean, as a writer, I need it. And you know, you have to have it to communicate with people. And once they can get in there, and so I said, you know, people who don't like Alex Jones, it's fine. Think whatever you want about him. I'm agnostic on him, really, like I am about Trump. But the fact when they took him down, I said, you know, you idiots are cheering this. This is ridiculous. I don't care what you think. Like, good, yeah, he's a blowhard. He's a CIA disinfo. He's Israel apologist, all this stuff. Yeah, okay, I heard all that. But he was the biggest name in the alt media. They took him down. And then they started these stupid prosecutions of him like they're doing with Trump. Again, whether he's in on it or not, symbolically, what does it say for the rest of us? So all of us are in danger of being prosecuted for what he was prosecuted for. Is no more ridiculous than, you know, prosecuting JFK assassination researchers or 9/11 researchers or anything else. You know, COVID research. Hell, I can, for my book Masking the Truth, they can prosecute me for that after shadow banning, because we set the template, and too many people, they let that emotion, you know, because they're into identity politics. So they hate Trump, they hate Alex Jones, they hate whatever figures there. Yeah, good, give it to them. You know, you're destroying the process. You've destroyed whatever legal precedent was there, and you set yourself up for maybe being prosecuted yourself. But you know, that's the situation we're in.
It didn't take much to tip over the aggregate collective semi-competent intellectual prowess of our white Western Christian culture. The same group got in there through the media and so confused and confounded people. And then they went into the school boards, took over most education, and programmed our young people to be virtually worthless anymore. All they do is push buttons on their phone. They're good at it. Unfortunately, doesn't pay the bills. So we've been really messed up, and I'm not surprised that things are beginning to they're falling apart. They're imploding.
But I see an interesting phenomenon coming now, and again, it's based on the Jewish question, because you see this Ben Shapiro character, he really opened up a can of worms. And the double thing, you've heard me talk about the Hamas and Israel situation, where the Zionist control of America has been exposed for what it is to people on the left. Because people on the left, again, this is, we know these same media people were behind the anti-white agenda. They're the ones that kept building up hate whitey. Well, now they've got a lot of Palestinian sympathizers, a lot of non-white people.
It's funny how it backfired on them. It's funny. Yeah.
And they hate whitey, which includes Israel, which they look at as the white colonizer. And so they don't understand that they're, you know, Jews are different or something. They don't get that. And so it's all coming out. And then you have Candace Owens, who, again, you could argue, I'm a very, very smart woman. I don't know to the point of where she came from or whatever, but she's really good at what she does, very articulate. And she's, you know, at least as smart as the Ben Shapiros of the world. So she can debate with him. And you could argue that was a monster they created. They wanted a black conservative. Mm-hmm. Well, it came back to bite them on the ass. And she's not letting up. She's getting more and more radical. And again, because she's black, I see it all the time. There's tons of videos out there by black conservatives who, almost all of them are not like white conservatives. Most white conservatives are diehard Zionists, and they love Israel, but not the black conservatives. Jason Whitlock, people like that.
You're right. They are what, honestly, white conservatives should be much more like black conservatives. They really are. They get it. They're not afraid. They get it. No, I have a video up at the top of the homepage. Candace notices and names the Jews. And that got her in big trouble. Actually,
and that's
basic. Benny Shapiro threw her off. But that's a good video to watch. You ought to take a look at it, everyone. It's up there at the top.
And again, it's the it's analogous to Frankenstein's monster. You could argue that, you know, this empowerment, this, you know, really absurd, over the top, blowing up the self esteem of black people for decades now, has resulted in this, where they are incredibly self-confident. And when they run into a Ben Shapiro or a ridiculous John Stewart or people like that, they don't back down. And they give it right to them. And I don't know if you've seen what's going on with this John Stewart, who this guy, you talk.
I can't stand him. I never could. Oh, never.
He reminds
Why did he
me
come
of,
back? His ego, I think. Oh, he's disgusting.
If they filmed Oliver Twist, he would be a perfect Fagin. to me. You know, Dickens was, you know,
oh,
accused
good
of being
call.
anti-Semitic. Yeah, he because he's got that sinister, smarmy look about him. But
sinister,
this guy's
been, smarmy, very good. Yeah, yeah,
he's been
he is.
Caught with his pants down because he made this idiotic thing. Where, and again, I've been licensed realtor since 1985. I don't do it much anymore. I should push it more, but I know enough about real estate to know that everything they're saying about Trump and his real estate deal is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, they're acting as if he has something to do with his assessed value. The assessed value is set by the county or the city. He had nothing to do with that. He can't change that. And the right. tax assessed value is always like 70% of the alleged market value, which is to be determined because people always pay more for, especially in today's market. So none of this made any sense. And he defrauded nobody. The banks testified for him. It was an absurd case to begin with. But John Stewart got on his little pulpit and decided to make a lot of his stupid jokes about, you know, claiming Trump did defraud people and everything. And this guy, Tim Pool, I don't really like Tim Pool necessarily, but I'm impressed what he did here. He went and did some research, just like Jason Whitlock did some research on Stephen A. Smith and some other people. These are what investigative journalists can do. Poole went and checked the real estate records for New York, and he found out that lo and behold, in 2014, John Stewart did the exact same thing he's accusing Trump of, where he inflated the value. He got like $16 million more for the or something than what it was worth, or something like that, which, again, can happen. But either they're both criminals or neither are. And Stewart is becoming apoplectic. Again, it's just like Shapiro. And I've never seen this, Jeff, my life, where these high profile Jews are being caught in the crossfire like this. They're being caught with their pants down and they don't know what to do.
They're planning damage control. They're working on damage control right now. They're planning. Yeah. They're not going to let this slide. They got to deal with it. But Stewart, remember, all of you, any of these late night programs, whatever the hell you call them, the host is no better or no worse. First of all, I consider most of them to be talentless. So they're no better and no worse than their writers. And if their writers are having a good day, you know, you got an idiot audience that's going to laugh at anything. They got that cue. They got the lead up and the punchline. Da 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 da. And they laugh or they applaud or they whatever. So, look, it's all disgusting. You shouldn't watch it. It's bad for your brain. So he's no better than his writers as far as his jokes go. Oh, he's a quipster. I get that. I've never liked the guy. I don't like any of them. I don't. No.
No, I just the fact that it's always misdirection. And to get the people, that's why I said,
yes,
I don't.
Exactly right.
Whether it. Trump is. I think he's part of the act. I think it's a Trump and sign project.
Of course
it doesn't
he is.
Matter. That's
it doesn't
what I
matter.
Think, but
thank you. You summed it up. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Just be aware of the fact that you're being conned. The whole thing is a carnival act.
Yes.
Get it. Soap opera. Get it. Understand. It's showbiz. Understand.
Right.
It doesn't matter who's in the White House, really. And if they want a nuclear war, they're going to have a nuclear war. It's that simple. I'm just hoping their greed will keep them from doing it.
Yeah,
we'll see.
They opened the door with Alex Jones's trials. That's when they really opened the door to what we're seeing now. You see, if you look, and I'm researching the January 6th stuff along with all the other stuff on Trump. I'm not unsure if it's going to be a volume of hidden history, or I may end up just writing a book about Trump. I don't know, because there's a lot there. But there's so much there with January 6th. You have, you know, jurors flipping off the defendants. Things like that. You have the judges make, and again, a number of these judges that are hard-ass in the January 6th defendants were appointed by Trump. And that needs to be stressed to the Trump loyalists about his great appointments. But
absolutely.
They're lecturing the defendants. They're I mean, this one guy I saw was, I think it was the guy that was accused. I think it was the guy who was accused of stealing the lectern. One of these guys, every headline was Nazi sympathizer, white supremacist, and all this stuff. Basically, most as I can figure, the only action he took that day was he tried to pull a police officer off of a protester when he was beating him. That's the only action he took. Everything else that they charged him with, the prosecutor went and supposedly got 34 people who worked with him at the Navy Yard. He was an National Guard veteran and everything, which they kicked him out of the military, but that testified he was known to make racist and sexist and anti-Semitic comments. I mean, how can people not be troubled by that? What is that? That's not evidence of anything. but it's allowed in these trials, and that's what they're using against people. That and again, people are sitting there, and because in the case of Alex Jones and Trump both, people don't realize they weren't real trials. The judge, I think in every one of their cases, the judges issued summary judgments. The judges just decreed before there was a trial that they were guilty. And so the only argument was, how much does Trump or Alex Jones have to pay? And no civil libertarian is upset about this. So, and I just urge people to, you know, put aside your feelings for Trump and Alex Jones, whoever. This is terrible what they're doing, and it doesn't bode well for all of us, because you want to find yourself in a courtroom like that, Jeff, where they can...
Are you kidding me?
I mean, no, especially with you and I have such a track record that's out there they can find, because that's, if you watched Alex Jones's trial, they were literally playing clips that I remember watching, and they were ridiculing him for selling vitamins and selling products. Can you imagine that? As if that was illegal or something.
Ridiculing him. See, that there's no justice here anymore. It's just us, and us ain't us. That's them. It's just us, meaning them. That's the way it works. Now, here's another thing, and then this is really a pivotal sociological aspect that needs to be understood. For a long time, you could not write or especially say the word Jew or Jewish. You did, that was off limits. Those poor people were through the Holocaust. You were conditioned and browbeaten and brainwashed for decades not to say that word. You could say Catholic, Protestant, Hindu, Christian, anything else, but you couldn't say Jew or Jewish. Now we've begun, and I didn't start it, but I've been pushing it very hard to keep that word on the table with all other terms connoting a religious individual of a certain stripe, whatever. It's fine to say Jew. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not. Right. It's okay. It's a word.
Exactly. Jesus. You're right. They act that way when a Gentile says, they look at you like, what do you? I mean, like you're not supposed to say it. I mean, it's you're right. And it's this is, I said at the time, and I have so many people that follow me that are fans of Hitler and think everything's about the Jews and everything, and they don't think I go far enough. But I think I talk about it a lot. But the gist of it all is that when you have a group that's 2% of the population, and they have the kind of control they have, where they're in charge of every television network, they're in charge of every major motion picture studio, they have high, you know, players. That has to be, at least has to be acknowledged.
If you can't recognize that and confront it as a fact, you're not living in reality.
Right.
It's real simple. There were many more issues that Don could have mentioned. How about the entire geopolitical network in this country, the bedrock? How about the financial system, right? How about the sciences? How about education? Wherever you look at a critical crossroads of power or influence, look at the names. You'll find Jewish names in key and dominant positions. They're smart. And I've said this before. I tip my hat to them. What they have pulled off, being 2% of the population, 0.2% of the world population, is astounding. It really is. Yeah. What they've done is, it's genius. Think about
it doesn't, I don't know why it's necessarily considered, you know, hateful to it. First of all, it's reality. And you're right.
What's hateful about reality?
Yeah,
keep it simple.
Yeah. Maybe they're superior. Maybe their IQ is so high, and they can't help. We can't help being fooled by them or something.
On average, maybe so. I mean, that's what they'd say. I don't necessarily agree, but it's a possible argument. Go ahead.
When you talk about diversity, equity, inclusion, I'm waiting for some black. I wish Louis Farrakhan or Nationism or something would talk about, we need DEI in the executive levels at the top levels in the film world, in Hollywood. I want to hear them talk about that. You know, why don't we have any diversity there? Why is every president of a television network, every president of a motion picture company, always Jewish? Why? Why? Where's the diversity there?
It's not a coincidence, dear friends. They open the door and then escort their own right on in. It's smart. That's what they're doing. They're taking over. Okay? And if we notice that, because it's reality, that doesn't make us hate mongers or anti-Semites. No. at all. We're journalists. We're citizen journalists. We're citizens of the planet. We care to know who our controllers are. Big deal.
It's the biggest
of
all.
It is a big deal, actually.
The giant elephants in the room. I mean, it's so obvious, and you can't address it without it. And
as I said before, and I want to repeat this, it's really what they've done is genius in terms of taking over and control and consolidating that control generation after generation. And now with AI, look out.
Without anybody acknowledging it, too, because as soon
nobody.
And that's why I say I think that it's coming back to bite them a little bit, that the fact that they push this anti-white agenda so strongly. And I know from working with so many blacks over the year, there's always been a lot of anti-Jewish feeling in the black community. It's always been there, simmering under the surface, and it's even more now. And now you have with the other ethnic people that are coming to America. And you saw that with the Harvard students that got doxxed, and the conservatives said nothing. You know, these are the same people that rightly railed against cancel culture when conservative speakers were denied the right to speak on college campuses. Well, they said nothing when these mostly Jewish CEOs of corporations put out a do not hire list on these kids and gave their names and addresses, which is something usually only the left does. The conservatives applauded it. And, you know, you either consistent or you're not. That's always should always be wrong. But I think that it's interesting that you're seeing the cracks happen, because I don't think there's a conservative. You could argue Tucker Carlson maybe, but he doesn't really talk about Israel that much. He kind of does. Maybe Pat Buchanan back in the day. But
Tucker's not going to lead us out of the darkness into the light in terms of our knowledge and understanding of what's going on here. He's one of them, too. Come on.
He'd never concentrate on this. But Candace Owens is kind of an unlikely suspect. But maybe it's all scripted. It's all game. But
don't think so in her case. And if you look at the homepage, let me pull this up here real quick. It's right there, and it's a good video because it's inclusive of many things, not just Candace, but it also mentions how Michael Jackson, in all likelihood, was eliminated because he criticized Jewish power. That's Marlon Brando, they beat the shit out of him, excuse me, for mouthing off, so to speak. Kanye West, we all saw that. Mel Gibson, right? We saw that.
Yep.
And what happened to Elon Musk? He groveled. He had to.
Yeah.
So you're not supposed to talk about it. And Michael Jackson did it. And it's in the video. And you listen to what Michael said. He lived it. It was his reality, his truth.
Yeah.
And he was dead very shortly after saying it. It's in the video.
And, you know, the conservatives like to quote the old adage, which is accurate, that if you want to know who's in charge, just look at you can't criticize.
That's right. And remember, hate speech is anything that most Jews don't want to hear.
JFK recognized it for back then. He was trying to get them to register as a foreign lobby back then.
They should still today, right now.
Yeah,
that should be registered. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
They are the largest and most powerful anti-free speech organization on the face of the earth.
Oh, they're the biggest censors of all.
But it's all about what is in the interest of the Jewish lobby in Israel. And it comes from there. And again, the conservatives may talk about the ADL, but most of them are still pro-Zionist. And that's what, again,
go ahead, Don. Go.
No, I thought Candace Owens was pretty decent. I thought she was very articulate, but I thought she was, you know, mostly kind of a Republican mainstream person, but she really shocked me with her very strident Christ is King, thing, which again, this is what I'm talking about, how so much of this Shapiro thing and the Jewish thing, the Daily Wire thing, is built around, because if you look at those comments, probably 99% were against the Jewish position of the Daily Wire. What do you mean Christ is King is anti-Semitic? Because again, even these people that are maybe predisposed to be Zionist, they're not going to understand that. What do you mean? I can't say Christ. Of course Christ is the king. That's what I believe. And so it's.
We all know that Candace was put on the Daily Wire by Shapiro as a token black.
Right.
They wanted a black. She was tokenized. She didn't even know it, but that was a obvious, and they tossed her out. Here, I'll go even further. Our history is so perverted in terms of representing reality and Germany and what happened in the 1930s in Germany, what really happened, the truth, which has been so corrupted. It's not funny. Germany and Hitler, who really led the miracles, he inspired those people, and they did in 3 years what couldn't be done, and they did it. Germany was our last hope. Adolf Hitler was our last hope to break away from the international central banking cartel system that is ruthless and controls virtually all countries. There are only three or four left. North Korea, Cuba, and Iran don't have Rothschild central banks. I think those are the last three. Everybody else does. So what does that tell you, ladies and gentlemen? Who else? Saddam Hussein wanted to break away from the central banksters, right? Yeah. Muammar Gaddafi wanted to create his own gold dinar, and they both of them were killed. They don't play games. They're deadly serious about this. Human life to them, that group, means nothing, nothing. And I will say it again, and I've said it before, Adolf Hitler and Germany was the Western world, the Western Christian world, last chance, our last hope. That was it. We lost it. They wrote about what would happen to Europe if Germany were to lose the war. The Germans wrote about it in 1942, 43, and they predicted everything that's happened. They knew. They knew who the takeover would be run by.
Well, if you look at first of all, if you look at it from a historical standpoint, and of course they don't even let you say this anymore, but I mean, under Hitler, the Germany turned around was a remarkable turnaround economically.
Man of the year on Time magazine's cover.
Yes, man of the year. Time. It's if Hitler had died in like 1938, or just for whatever reason had not gone to Poland, if he had just not gone into Poland,
he had to go into Poland. You know the story, do you not? Let me tell it to you.
Well, sure.
The World War One Treaty of Versailles chopped off a big piece of Germany and gave it to the Poles, right? The ethnic Germans stayed there. It was their home for hundreds and hundreds of years. The Poles began to murder and destroy the German populace in that, what they call it, Silesia? I've forgotten exactly. At any rate, that part of Poland, which was Germany until that horrible World War One treaty gave it to the Poles, was full of Germans. Thousands of them were butchered and murdered by Poles, crazy Poles. Hitler had to go in to stop it. These are German people. And he did. And that's what allegedly started the whole thing.
Yeah, but if
there's
he
much
had,
more to it than that.
If he had just, if he'd been out of power in like 1938 or whatever, he probably would be remembered as Germany's greatest leader. He would, he was the man, Time magazine's man of the year and so forth. And
well,
you reference.
What's the number two best-selling book in the world?
Mein Kampf?
Right now. That's right. Right now.
But the Treaty of Versailles, as you mentioned, was actually
Satan's own. That was absolutely hideous, beyond words, hideous.
Well, it was based on what happened in our own Civil War to the South with Reconstruction, where they decided.
Good call.
Because up until that point, and of course, it led the way to the Nuremberg trials, which is they took the next step. You know, with
who
Lee,
ran the whole Nuremberg trials? Who ran all of it? Set it up. Protocoled it, ran it, delivered the executions. Jews.
Yeah. Well,
I have no problem saying it. Look it up. I'll be backed up by the facts. It's there. They ran the whole thing.
In my book, Crimes and Cover-Ups in American Politics, 1776, 1963, I have a long section on that. I'm amazed I never questioned about it much. But, you know, one of the people that there are lots of people in the American landscape, Senator Robert Taft, both of Eisenhower's brothers, lots of prominent people, you know, said, "Now, God, this is ridiculous," because it was the Treaty of Versailles was the first time where they basically legally took land from the loser, And not that they took over necessarily militarily. In this case, as you mentioned, Poland, everything, they just gave areas that had been German before over to the other side. And they also enforced reparations on them. And most
which
people
they could
realize,
never pay back ever.
No, Germany ever. Didn't stop paying reparations from World War One until 2010. No. Think of that. That's almost a century. And right. But in World War II, they went further because they decided, okay, we're gonna put the losers on trial. I mean, it never happened in the history of the world. All the wars we've had, it never occurred to the people who won a war. You know, usually you sign the treaty, the terms of the treaty, whatever. Usually some land was gained or whatever. Mm-hmm. Prisoners of war released, and that's the end of it. Not here. This is a never-ending war, and they just say we're going to. And this was still with us today. That kind of vindictiveness, that kind of thinking.
Important. From 1945 to 1953, approximately, depending on who you talk to, 9 to 14 million Germans were murdered. Killed after the war ended. No one heard about it over here because the media was controlled by the same group and they kept it quiet. Why were these Germans? These Germans were the last of the patriotic class of Germany that could be easily identified, and so they were killed. That took the heart and soul out of Germany. Today, Germany is essentially communist. It is run by Bolshevik Zionist Jews for the most part. They're influencing everything. Ask any German. They'll tell you. A real German. They'll tell you. But they took the heart and soul of Germany and crushed it. What did Churchill write in his autobiography? He said World War II had nothing to do with fighting against National Socialism. It was a war to exterminate Germany and the German people.
Oh, you had the Morgenthau Plan in the United States. I mean, you talk about
Morgenthau
whatever.
Is not Irish either, friends.
No. But you talk about, okay, what? And I'll have a lot more about that in my upcoming book, American Memory Hole, but I had something about it in Crimes and Cover-Ups. And the idea was that, and this was, you know, it was kind of mildly criticized by some people in the Roosevelt administration, but they really did want to kill all Germans. And you had a book maybe 10, 15 years ago, and I can't remember the name right now, but it was written by just obviously a nut who basically he said that every German, every man, woman, and child was responsible for the Holocaust. He blamed them all for that, much as the same kind of thing we see with, you know, critical race theory, where every white is, you know, responsible for systemic racism, has race, white privilege and all that stuff. And again, the other side lets it happen. The conservative side is too weak, and they don't argue. What are you talking about? That's absolutely insane to say that. But they're allowed to say it, and they keep saying it. And somebody like a Morgenthau, who did not go down in history as a madman, and he should have, because even if you accept everything that they said about Hitler, that Hitler wanted to exterminate a race, even if you accept that, then you have to admit that Morgenthau wanted to exterminate a race too. And they don't. They just ignore that, and they this was under the, you know, aegis of the U.S. government.
Hypocrisy doesn't even enter the door. It's way worse than that. The horror of this is unbelievable. It's true.
So when we discuss where we
Germany
are today,
is not even a ghost of what it was. It's not German anymore like it used to be. Mercedes-Benz is moving its primary manufacturing to China. Moving to China.
Well, everywhere else is.
They've overrun Germany and Europe with Muslims and black Africans, and that was the plan to finish the job.
Yeah,
and they're doing the same thing here, friends. Same thing.
Yeah.
And as we've Don and I mentioned this before, there used to be an expression. It was called high treason. High treason has been normalized now. Treason is being committed every day here.
Yeah.
Everybody involved with the dissolution of the border and the paying with U.S. tax money of the importation, whether it's being done by air or bus or foot, of all these invaders. It's treason. Treason to the Constitution. It's crazy.
No, it is. And it's that's why I like to talk so much about these things, like from World War One, World War Two, because or even the Civil War, because so much the things that we talk about today and the reason we find ourselves where we are today It's because of all these precedents. As I said, if somehow you did have an ACLU that was still concerned about civil liberties, you had civil libertarian lawyers like my mentor, Mark Lane, that were from the left that were standing outside the DC jail and protesting the lack of all due process and the horrible way that these political prisoners have been treated, the government would simply cite the previous precedents. They would cite the Civil War, when under another insurrection, Abraham Lincoln jailed all the peoples and suspended the writ of habeas corpus. So there's precedent for that. They would cite in World War II, not only, and I'll write a lot more about this in the American Memory Hole, where we were talking about the concentration camps in Germany, but not the Soviet Union, not the gulags. We had our own camps here, and it wasn't just Japanese. I had a guy on my show who wrote a good book about Roosevelt exposed, but he didn't even know. I told him, you know, there were Germans and Italians too. He didn't know that. He said, "Oh, I didn't know that." He did great research, but again, he was looking in the one direction. And not only that, I'll have more in my next book about this. But I found that not only did they round these people up, the only reason they rounded up was because of their ethnicity, which is what they claimed the Germans did with the Jews, the exact same reason. And not only that, I don't know what the Germans did to Jewish property, but here we stole all their property, billions of dollars for Japanese and German businesses, especially, lost billions of dollars from.
Oh, you just took it. Everything the Japanese owned was just gone.
Yeah, they didn't own never it gave the property, and they never gave it back when they let them out. No. And just that's just a how is that not a crime? Now, of course, the Japanese, decades later, got some reparations. Their heirs did mostly, but nobody talked about the Germans or the Italians. And this is.
And here, I got to throw this in. What was the highest decorated U.S. Army group fighting for America in World War II? The 442nd, staffed entirely by Japanese American citizens. Highly decorated World War II, I don't know if it was a division or whatever the hell it was. It was a group. They got more awards and fought harder and more valiantly for America than any other unit, portion, or segment of the U.S. military in Europe. The 442nd. Look it up. Yoshi Shimazu's dad was in that. He fought in the 442nd.
That's interesting. That's why I get so mad when I'm reading and researching real history. My books have a real history. They're really sourced, and there are no emotion in them. Opinion. But when you look at that, and I get so incensed to see what the pabulum that's put out by the court historians, where they throw so that something like World War II, it's just the only thing they talk about is the Holocaust. And of course, we know how fanciful that is, to be polite. But that is just like the Civil War is just about slavery. The Civil War is just about slavery. World War II is just about the Holocaust. And that's it. They don't talk about the other things.
And who directs all this? Who directs it? It's the same people. They own the media. Of course, that's it.
And this is why those questions have to be asked. And and that's why on the right, people recognize how bad things are. They recognize that some really, really bad people have control of our institutions. Well, there is a wildly disproportionate number from one group, a very small minority group, that is in charge of a lot of influential positions. So if there was any other group, I said, look at the way they treated the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has, do they have majority Catholics, or are they have too many Catholics or whatever? And that was widely discussed everywhere. Oh, they've got too many Catholics on the Supreme Court. Do you think that if they had too many Jews on the Supreme Court, then anyone would dare mention it?
Not a chance.
I mean, it's not a chance. And so you either believe in true diversity or you don't. So if you're going to claim you have diversity, okay, well, why don't we see any? Let's start with white Gentiles, but let's go from there to blacks. Our largest minority group, the Hispanics, are nowhere to be seen in positions of power. Asians, whatever. Transgenders who are not Jewish. Let's say they can't be Jewish because they're too, you've got a disproportionate number of Jews there. Let's have a. I'm waiting for somebody, and maybe it will be one of these Palestinian type groups on the left that will realize it, because they're already attuned to it because of the Israel-Palestine thing. So maybe they're going to start looking at other things. But I'm really enjoying the show. by watching people like Ben Shapiro and John Stewart, one on the right, one on the left, squirm, because they're not used to being questioned. And especially, on the left, if they're kind, or really either one, mm-hmm. they're so used to promoting blacks and trying to turn blacks against whites, everyday whites.
Pawns on a board. Please don't be afraid to use the term Jews any more than you'd be afraid of using the word Catholics. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Don't be afraid to criticize what's going on here. Reality is reality. The World War II thing, if you want to really do any simple research, read the Leuchter Report. That's L-E-U-C-H-T-E-R. L-E-U-C-H-T-E-R. I had Fred Leuchter on the program. That's a mind-boggling eye-opener. Then do research into the Red Cross and what it did in World War II in Germany, all during the war, in the concentration labor camps.
Right.
Read the Red Cross report that came out, the final report, number of people who died in all the work camps and labor camps during the war in Germany and in Poland. And they put that out in 46 or 47, I believe. 47, I think. The Red Cross. They were there. They had offices in every camp,
and they tracked everything. Because if you bring up any, and there are lots of questions, obviously, about that people could bring up. World population before and after the Holocaust. That's a pretty important one.
Whoops.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah. That kind of thing. But when you do that, it's instantly, and this is where we first got what we see now about so many things. That's why they call it a Holocaust denial. They couched it. You're questioning that? That's a mental illness. So it's Holocaust denial. So now they've now mimicked that with so many other issues. Well, you're questioning the 2020 election? You're an election denier. You're mentally ill. Oh, you're questioning COVID?
Yeah.
You're a COVID denier.
Oh, yeah.
Science denier. And so they,
you're
they started
a vax denier.
Something.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Look, it's the same technique every time. They're very clever at it. They're really masters at mass mind control and manipulation. They know how to do it.
But I'm really impressed with Candace Owens. I hope some white conservatives start doing what she did, because she's showing that. Because I don't believe that Jews are superior. I don't believe anybody's superior. I actually believe I'm an egalitarian. They're not, for the most part. And so I'm not going to sit up there and say, "Well, God, you're too smart for me. I could never debate you." Candace Owens is not buying that, because again, they built up her self-esteem a lot, I'm sure, and especially she.
Please go look
really
at the video at the top of the homepage, everyone. You'll see it. It's up to Candace Owens. Just look at the video. Think about it. It's all right there. Before we run out of time, I have to mention this. You've seen John Barber's William F. Pepper, we'll call it
yes,
a documentary.
Yes.
About Martin Luther King and what really happened to him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would urge, it's under John's name on the left-hand side of the homepage. I watched that last night, and I came away sickened, just like I did realizing what happened to John Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy. It's the same people. This country has so much evil at the top. You, most all of you, actually, if you listen to this program, you get it, or listen to Don. The average rank and file American citizen would never believe how evil this country is at the top. Yeah. What they did to Martin Luther King and John Kennedy and Bobby was sheer satanic lust of hate. And James Earl Ray, just for openers, just like Lee Harvey Oswald, did not shoot Martin Luther King. He was a patsy. Okay? They know exactly who shot him. In fact, William F. Pepper, the attorney that the documentary salutes, took the shooter to lunch, and the guy admitted it. He was a Memphis cop.
Mm-hmm.
Pepper even talked to the guy at the gun range where all the cops went. He says, he was in here for about, I think he said 6 weeks or something like that, practicing every day with this gun. He identified the gun. Yeah. Same gun that was used. Now, let me just leave you a teaser here. I'm not going to tell you exactly, but Martin Luther King did not necessarily die from the gunshot wound.
That's right.
When he left, when they took him away from that motel, he wasn't supposed to be on the third floor either. They moved him up there. He was alive. And when he got to ER and they started working on him, he was alive. He didn't have to die, and something happened that will make you sick in your stomach when you find out what really happened to Martin Luther King. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, good. And that's, you're exactly right. I was shocked because John Barber was one that first. I had researched these cases for a long time, but I did not know Pepper had found these witnesses and so forth. But yeah, I don't want to spoil it either. But watch it because it's shocking, especially when you consider what a. I mean, he's not the cultural icon he used to be. Martin Luther King is, because you know a lot of his rhetoric sounds white supremacist now in today's completely insane woke society. But I mean, judging people by the content of their character, I mean that's. We certainly don't do that. So, but he's still, because he's black, he's still revered. And for them, in all the years since Pepper discovered this, for them not to have publicized this, because this you talk about this is, again, you have to watch it, but it's unbelievable. You're not going to believe it.
I was appalled, absolutely appalled. Yeah. And that nurse, last nurse out of the OR. Yeah. I'm in the ER, what she said later. And she disappeared too, by the way. Look, here's the summation. They kill people all the time.
Yes.
They, the control of this country. And the control of this country is as black evil as it gets.
Absolutely.
That's true. I
want to say a quick shout out. Please out there, pray for my sister Janet. She's not doing really well right now. So I just want to put that out there. Those of you who are inclined to pray, please do so.
I'm sorry, John. We'll do, her name is
Janet.
Janet. Okay.
Janet. Yes.
All right, Janet. All right. I'll hold some thoughts for her. You bet.
Thank you.
Take good care, John. Okay.
John,
talk to you next week.
Okay, man.
All right. Donald Jeffries and Janet. All right. There are a lot of people suffering out there now. And it didn't have to happen. It was created. All this suffering. Created. Be right back.